And it is Jared and the GM on ESPN 102.5. The game online at thegamenashville.com. Live today, Floyd, from SEC Media Days. Can you smell that, Floyd? Can you smell it?
There's a lot to smell here, I'll tell you that.
Not any of the actual smells, though.
Oh.
But it smells like football. It just smells like football. We are so close. As we are here at SEC Media Days, our coverage presented by Pepper Boxing, Volunteer Hose and Gasket, and, of course, transportation provided by Walker Chevrolet in the beautiful, beautiful SUV that we took down here. And, Floyd, before we get to the Burger McFarland stuff and all the things that are going on at SEC Media Day, you have a new store at the mall, your new favorite store at the mall.
Yeah, yeah. 21 and Up, is that the name of it?
Forever 21.
Forever 21.
You were close. I tweeted out that you were at Forever 21 because we walked through Forever 21 from the parking lot to get here. And the people were like, oh, pictures or it didn't happen. There's no way Floyd Reese went into Forever 21. But
so wrong on so many different planes.
It was so wrong.
Wrong age, wrong sex, wrong everything.
Okay.
It was just wrong.
So we're live here at SEC Media Days. Butch Jones will take the podium at some point this afternoon. When he does, we will play it for you in its entirety. And speaking of Butch Jones in Tennessee, I say we start there because this morning it is the statement heard round the SEC. And it happened on Braden and Fitz. They had Booger McFarland from the SEC Network on, former Tampa Bay Buccaneers Super Bowl winner. They had Booger McFarland on earlier this morning on Braden and Fitz, and he said this about Tennessee.
The East depends on Georgia, Florida, Tennessee to be up. Well, those schools aren't up this year. Georgia may be up. Florida is iffy at best. And Tennessee, I think Tennessee is going to be abysmal. I think Butch Jones, the people at Tennessee are going to have to make a decision at the end of the year. Do you take a chance on being great, or are you satisfied with being good?
Now, let's dissect that, Floyd, because that is what everyone is taking what Booger said about Tennessee being abysmal. And they're, you know, one way or the other saying either they like it or they don't like it or they're upset at Booger or whatever. When you hear what Booger McFarland said, what do you think?
Well, I mean, of course, that's just one guy's opinion. And I don't know what it's based on. I mean, we don't expect that, don't think that. And, you know, it's his opinion. I try not to get too wound up in all that stuff one way or another because it's going to change, you know, as we go on and play a couple of games, and I think it'll change for really everybody in the East. Easily could change. So, I mean, you know, again, one guy's opinion. It'll be interesting to hear. I'm sure somebody will bring it up to Butch Jones this afternoon, and it'll be interesting to hear his response.
Well, here's my take on what Booger McFarland said. I don't think he's necessarily wrong. I don't think he's necessarily wrong. Abysmal, that's a little bit strong. I'm not sure I expect Tennessee to be abysmal this year. But what was Tennessee on defense last year? Especially at the end of the year when they had all those injuries and everything else. They were abysmal defensively. Now, take out Josh Dobbs, take out Josh Malone, take out Alvin Kamara, take out Derek Barnett. I mean, that's a lot you're losing off of an 8-win football team. So there's really, when you lose that type of stuff, you expect to go down. So if you lose, if you win 8 games and you lose all of that, it's not unreasonable to think 6 wins may be a possibility. And by my estimation, 6 wins in the SEC is abysmal. So I'm not against that. And then the other part, when Booger brought up that at the end of the year, Tennessee's going to have to make a choice. Do they want to be great, or are they okay with just being what they are? And we talk about that every day.
Every week we talk about the same exact thing. Which way do you want to go? And you know what? I think people think we really have some kind of a bet or something on, you know, what they're going to. We really don't care. I mean, whatever you want, it's your school, people. And whatever you want, I understand that. I'm behind you 100%. Now, what would I do? You know, or what would a lot of the people that I know do is different than maybe what a lot of fans are looking at.
I have no problem with what Booger said, and I'll say this too. If the two options, let's just say there's no in between, but the two options are Tennessee is either abysmal or they're great. Because we talked last week, we came up with that path to 10 wins, which once again is a path. I'm not sure it's extremely viable, but it's still a path.
It is.
It's a path.
Somebody's path.
It's a path.
Okay.
I mean, it may be like the Democratic nominee winning Texas, which is not very likely.
Okay.
But it's still the path.
Uh-huh.
So we had the path for Tennessee to win 10 games. I think it's more likely they win 5 or 6 than win 10. So if the options are either being great or being, as Booger would say, abysmal, I'm with Booger. I think there's probably more likely to be abysmal than they are to be great.
I see the word abysmal in my mind is 2 or 3 wins. I mean, if you're – we know, or people generally feel, the win total is going to be down a little bit from last year. So, 8-7, you know, is 6 going to be bad? It's going to be bad. Is it going to be abysmal? I'm not sure that's the right word. I understand why, you know, you can get into an argument over semantics, but abysmal to me for Tennessee would be, you know, 2 or 3 wins. That would be, and in my mind, Butch would be fired then. But with, you know, if you end up with 6 wins, is that abysmal? I'm not sure it is.
For Tennessee, I think it's abysmal.
Well, it's for you and I, for Tennessee, it is. But is what about the Tennessee fans? That's my question. And if they're expecting 8 and get 6, that's not the end of the world, you know, in my mind. If you're expecting 8 and you get 2, world ends.
The other thing, too, on this, like the other angle that I look at when I hear what Booger McFarland said, and then I see kind of the, I guess, the blow-up afterwards, because this thing is taking on a life of its own with what Booger McFarland said and what now we're, you know. The thing that I take away from this is the reason that it's blown up is because Tennessee fans are very insecure that Booger might be right. You know, if Booger comes out and says Alabama's going to be abysmal next year, well, nobody actually believes that. So we would just kind of shrug it off. It's like when Skip Bayless came out a couple months ago and said Bill Belichick was not a great coach. That didn't get national play because everybody knows Bill Belichick is a great coach. But the reason I think Booger McFarland's comments have hit so close to home for Tennessee fans is because they fear that Booger McFarland might be right. Because they look at it and they think, you know, they're hoping that this year they can win 8 or 9, maybe, you know, if that path to get to 10. But I think deep down in their minds, they fear with all that they've lost and what they've seen Butch Jones when he coaches against teams and loses when they've got better players. I think they're looking at it and thinking, you know, maybe Booger's right. And that's what leads to the animosity of, oh, Booger McFarland's a hater and he does. Because there may be some truth to what Booger said.
Well, yeah, and there may be some truth to what they're saying, too. I mean, let's face it, if Booger woke up this morning and said, I'm on a hot take today, that's a pretty quick way to do it, say that about the University. If you would have said that about Georgia, if you would have said that about Tennessee, if you would have said that about Florida, if you would have said that probably even South Carolina, there would have been some kind of pushback. And so I think it's, you know, I think that was probably a real, real strong word to use, and probably one that, I mean, I would have never used it. I mean, let's face it, who's going to be the worst team in the SEC? Let's say
Missouri,
okay? Missouri's going to win, what, 2, 3, 4 games? That's abysmal. But he wouldn't get on the radio and say, Missouri is abysmal. You get on and say, Missouri is growing, Missouri's recruiting, they're trying to improve, they're going to have a good quarterback, good offense, et cetera, et cetera.
What then? Here's my other question. Then what defines abysmal for UT? Because abysmal for Vandy and abysmal for UT are two different things.
Absolutely.
Abysmal for Alabama, if Alabama goes 8-4, that's abysmal for Alabama, which is unfair to Nick Saban that he has raised the bar so high that abysmal is there. My whole sense of this with the abysmal thing is I do view 6 wins in year 5 at Tennessee as abysmal. If Philip Fulmer won 6 games in a season, oh, my God.
But
Philip Fulmer would never.
But as soon as we bring that up, what do we hear?
Dooley.
You can't. You know how far we've brought this program in the last 5 years.
Well, you haven't brought it that far if you win 6 games.
Because we had to go through Dooley, and we had to go through Lane, and we had to go through, and this is where we are now.
That may all be good, But Tennessee was a four-win team when Derek Dooley got fired. And if you're only 5 years in, two wins better, how good are you?
Well, I think, again, I think they're expecting a step back from last year. Agreed?
No, because I think they think they'll beat the South Carolinas and the Vandys.
They think they're going to win nine games this year? Nine or ten games?
I'm not saying what they're thinking. I'm just saying I think they do think that they'll win some of those games.
They're going to take a step back, and I think they expect a step back. So if you're winning nine, expect a step back seven or eight, then you get to six, and again, in my mind, I'm not sure that's abysmal.
So that's how we're starting our show off, is with the take that Booger McFarland had, the take heard round the South, which has kicked off SEC Media Days. Tennessee, LSU, Arkansas, all going today. Arkansas is already gone, but I don't think anyone listening to our show really cares about Arkansas. So LSU going later today, but we'll have Tennessee when they hit the podium as well. We've got tons of guests, by the way, that are here from SEC Media Days. Jordan Rogers, the greatest hair in all of Nashville that has now left Nashville. His hair will be here on the show, and we'll take your calls. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. 615-737-1025. Live from SEC Media Days, presented by Pepper Boxing, Volunteer Hose and Gasket, and transportation provided by Walker Chevrolet. It's Jared and the GM on ESPN 1-0. Hold on. We're going to take a – in fact, we'll get to this in a second because we're being joined now. Jared Stillman.
Floyd Reese. DJ, how are you?
So we're being joined now, and this is how SEC Media Day works, Floyd, and I know you're kind of a rookie to this, but
yes, I am.
DJ Chark, LSU wide receiver, joining us now here on the show, here at the table. So we were right there getting ready to go to break, but now we always make time for the people, don't we? We always try to do our best. So DJ Chark joining us, wide receiver for LSU. So DJ, how excited are you? You, by the way, are looking smooth here at SEC Media Days.
Thank you. How excited are you
to kick it off this year?
Oh, I'm very excited, man. Walking through this lobby, I never seen anything like this. This is crazy. Just a great feeling. It's a real honor to be here talking to y'all.
So you guys in last year with the big Citrus Bowl win, Coach O stays on. And now it's kind of like, what's next for LSU? When you guys are in the meeting rooms and the workout rooms and you're talking and hanging out, what is the discussion of what's next for LSU?
We just really want to be great this year. We've been watching all the games, our past games. Everybody here want to get back to that real, real dominant us that we know we can be. We show flashes all the time, but I feel like this year we really focus on doing that from the first game to our last game. And hopefully our last game is the last game of the season for everybody. So we really just want to make it to that stage this year and show that we really had a talent.
DJ, one of the objectives for LSU always has been, or I shouldn't say always, but over the last few years, improve quarterback play.
Right.
Are you seeing that?
Actually, I am. I've been working with Danny a lot. Me and him been coming into the indoor facility, working on every route that we have. I'd like to see how he want to throw it. He'll give me suggestions. I'll give him suggestions. We just really in there all the time, just working on the small things like the communication, the connection. So me, him, and a few other receivers been really working on that a whole lot.
Is the offense changed much from last year? Changed coordinators, get new people in?
Yeah, it changed a lot. Definitely a night and day, two different type of offenses. This time, if you watch any of Coach Canada's last offenses, it's a lot of moving parts from the offensive line to the running backs to the receivers. You know, everyone is always moving. You can't really just predict what he's going to do. Sometimes he might not even know what he's going to do. He can just really change the way that he write a play up, and just one different alteration of the play can really change everything. So,
now, did that force somebody like you to learn a lot more, lot different positions?
Oh, definitely. Coming in, you know, I play Z, so that's the one of the outside receivers.
Right.
But as a leader in the room, they move me around a lot. So I've been at Z, I've been at slot, I've been on the other side of the field by myself, on the ball, off the ball, just all kind of, I just have to know everything. So if they need to use me for a certain situation, I can be there.
DJ Chark is our guest wide receiver, a senior at LSU. This guy right here is a former NFL general manager, a former Super Bowl GM. So okay. As a senior yourself, if you could ask the GM any question about the NFL, what would it be?
Any question.
I'm putting you on the spot there.
Yeah. I would have to ask, what should you be prepared for mentally to come into the NFL?
Great question, by the way. That's the biggest adjustment you'll make is mentally. Physically, you won't be as far away as you think you are. But mentally, the ability to go out there and pound it every day, every play, for weeks and weeks and weeks,
yeah.
That's tough. Takes a lot of mental toughness.
I also, one other question. I talked to a lot of guys that left, and, you know, they only get, like, maybe 20 reps or 20 plays of practice. How, like, significant is that?
You know, you're going to have to learn a lot, and you're going to have to learn it fast. And if you're able to take all of that with limited reps,
right,
and as soon as your number is called, you go out there and do it exactly the way they want it, you'll get more reps.
Okay.
You'll get more play time. But they don't have a lot of sympathy for guys not doing the right thing, lining up the wrong way, getting penalties, doing that kind of stuff.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
You'll be all right.
Thank you.
DJ Chark, wide receiver at LSU. DJ, we appreciate you stopping by the table. And we hope you have fun here at SEC Media Days. And we really appreciate you coming on in Nashville.
Thanks for having me.
DJ Chark, wide receiver at LSU. All right, we are live at SEC Media Days. Our coverage presented by Pepper Boxing, Volunteer Hose and Gasket, and transportation provided by Walker Chevrolet. Jared and the GM, it's ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back to the show live at SEC Media Days. Jared and the GM, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Cole Kublick from the SEC Network going to join us in about 10 minutes or so. Also, we grab any LSU or Tennessee players, we'll just throw them on the air like we did last segment with DJ Chalk, which I thought was actually really – I thought the best part was you guys talking NFL, about him asking you NFL questions, and it was kind of like ask the GM a little bit.
I've done seminars and, you know, events where there are draft-eligible players, and you would be shocked at the questions they ask. Good questions, and a lot of them. They're good.
And it's funny because I think that, you know, they would rather talk to you than talk to any of us. I mean, you're talking a former Super Bowl general manager, you know, et cetera, and they're talking to a lot of, you know, I'm not trying to sit here and knock people because I think I'm extremely handsome, but, you know, a bunch of chubby guys who, you know, sit there and, well, I think LSU, but no, I think this one, so.
And most of these players are really, really smart, you know, so they –
so they see those people and they know you.
Yeah,
they say, I got to go on Floyd Reese's show.
Absolutely.
I mean, I'll tell you right there. And I would just say right now, the big thing that I love is I want to know what Butch Jones's reaction is going to be to the Booger McFarland comments that were made on Braden and Fitz earlier this morning. Like, because you know someone's going to ask Butch about it when Butch takes to the podium. We'll carry that live here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. But Booger McFarland saying Tennessee's going to be abysmal. Ty has been waiting patiently. He's up next. What's up, Ty?
Hey, guys. First off, I'm going to totally disagree with your viewpoint of Tennessee may be afraid. And here's why. Two issues. One, if you look at last year on the SEC Network, Booger McFarland's pick were at 33%. That would get you kicked out of Vegas on any night. That's absolutely horrible.
Actually, it'll get you invited back.
Yeah, but number two, he has every year said LSU is going to be at the top. Where's LSU been? Nowhere.
Actually, he was on board with firing Les Miles, though. I mean, he was kind of out in front of the, you know, it's time for Les to go thing. And so I don't know if that argument holds up.
Well, you know, an expert, and another name for an expert, an acronym is an old drip. He's done. He needs to be gone. He's just a mouthpiece for the SEC Network. And I look at this year very similar to a year when a young Peyton Manning went in as a senior year and everybody had expectations that the Vols were going to win the national championship, and they faltered. And the very next year, a no-name named T. Martin came in and took a young team all the way. That could be the same thing happening this year.
Floyd, do you see it? Thanks for the call.
Yeah, I was going to ask Ty what his expectations were.
Well, he just said national championship for Tennessee.
Well, I don't think he's serious about that.
But I think he's serious about the comparison to the year after Peyton Manning left.
Oh, there could be something there.
No, those former teams are more talented than this team is.
I was just curious. I was just curious what his, you know, what he would define as abysmal.
That's an interesting take.
Yeah, is it, you know, is six abysmal? Is four or two? I mean, it'd be interesting.
SEC Network analyst plus former Auburn offensive lineman Cole Kublik going to join us next. We are live at SEC Media Days, presented by Pepper Boxing, Volunteer Hose and Gasket, and transportation provided by Walker Chevrolet. Jared and the GM, ESPN, 102.5 The Game. Hanging out here at SEC Media Days, Jared and the GM, our coverage presented by Pepper Boxing, Volunteer Hose and Gasket, and transportation provided by Walker Chevrolet, joined now by SEC Network analyst and former Auburn offensive lineman Cole Kublik. Cole, good to see you this year.
Hey, man. How's it going?
Last year, you were the one that sat down. We were talking about the SEC, and everybody was handing the East to Tennessee. And you were the one guy that said you wanted to see it. You just wanted to see it, and we didn't see it. And now today, kind of the big story in these parts of the South is what Booger McFarland said on our morning show.
Who's Boog making mad? Already?
The Tennessee fans, not happy. And they're
he
not
made
happy.
The Florida fans mad on my show this morning, saying that Florida couldn't go back to Atlanta because they don't have the quarterback to do it. He likes Georgia.
See, and I don't think that's a bad take either, but this was what Booger McFarland said on our morning show, Braden and Fitz, earlier today.
The East depends on Georgia, Florida, Tennessee to be up. Well, those schools aren't up this year. Georgia may be up. Florida is iffy at best. And Tennessee, I think Tennessee's going to be abysmal. I think Butch Jones, the people at Tennessee are going to have to make a decision at the end of the year. Do you take a chance on being great, or are you satisfied with being good?
So now that you've heard that, what do you think about Tennessee coming into this year? Because you weren't sold last year, so what do you think about Tennessee coming into this year?
I would turn the question around and say I would probably lean more towards what Booger McFarland said than what most of your listeners believe. And listen, I've been in fights with Vol Twitter, okay? It's not a fun place to be.
It's not.
And it's a very unrealistic place to be. I get a lot of, it's going to be the best offensive line in the SEC. They're going to win the East. They're going to win the SEC. They're going to beat Bama. A lot of things that are not going to happen and not going to take place. But I would love to hear someone from a very realistic perspective try and sell me on why Tennessee can even be what they were last year. Because one thing I talk about all the time in college football, and especially with college football fans, in particular college football fanatics, we have a bad habit of forgetting greatness very, very, very quickly. And we love to turn the page to the next guy for some reason. You're losing arguably the best pass rusher in school history. You're losing a top, let's just be safe, top five quarterback in school history, who, by the way, number one is arguably the best NFL quarterback of all time. So you're losing a running back who was drafted that was able to make some good plays, two other defensive ends that did some nice things, some guys in the secondary. I just point out to me where this team is going to be able to surpass what they did a year ago. And you can tell me avoiding the injuries, and you can tell me avoiding the off-field distractions with situations of guys leaving and fighting on the practice field and fighting in the locker room. That's great. But at the end of the day, guys got to get the job done on the field to win games. And I just don't know if there's going to be enough guys on the field that are talented enough for Tennessee to go out and win a lot of football games.
Define, in your mind, abysmal for me in terms of wins.
For me, if I were to say Tennessee is going to be abysmal, that means that it's a fireable season for Butch Jones. That would be 3 to 5 wins for me. That would be abysmal for me.
You don't think 6 is a fireable season for Butch Jones?
Here's the thing I don't like about numbers is – it depends on how it plays out. How do those games look? What are the situations of the games?
Who do you lose to?
And how do you lose to them? It's all circumstantial, in my opinion. People, this was the conversation we all had last year. What's the number for Gus Malzahn to keep his job? 8, 9. So you're telling me Gus Malzahn wins 8 last year, the team gets hot late, beats Georgia and Alabama. You're firing him? I don't believe there's a magic number. And listen, it's a little bit different. When A&M rolls in here, they got somebody that works in their administration. They gave us a number. So we can talk about Texas A&M in that perspective, but I agree with what Booger said. Tennessee wins 6, there's going to be some decisions being made, and they're going to be tough decisions of whether or not they're going to keep their head football coach.
You, at your alma mater, Auburn, looks like they may have an interesting quarterback comparison, rivalry, competition? What are your thoughts there?
I don't believe there will be any competition. It's Jarrett Stidham's job.
No doubt.
Now, I do believe, and not many people talk about this, is that they're in a pretty good spot from a quarterback depth perspective. I think you look at Kentucky and Auburn, maybe the only two teams that have two legitimate SEC starting quarterbacks on their roster. That's a pretty good place to be if you need a guy for a half, a series, even a game or two to be able to sort of weather the storm before you get your starter back. Jarrett Stidham has all the tools to be a legit SEC quarterback, a legit national quarterback. Lance Zierlein, who works for NFL.com, has told me that Art Briles said he's the best passer he's ever recruited. I've pulled every throw that he's had in college, and I've broken him down. He's the real deal. He moves better than people say. He can make every throw. I love his demeanor. I love his attitude. He's very presidential. He understands the position. Has he been around long enough to be enough on the same page to sort of go the next level with that team? I mean, Cam Newton did it. He came in January and did it. Not comparing those two by any stretch of the imagination. The key, honestly, for that offense will be, is Gus Malzahn really going to turn over play calling? If it's going to be a back and forth, if it's a juggling act, then I don't think they can take off. Can they be great at times? Sure. Can they have a couple big games? Absolutely. But are they going to consistently climb and be a threat week in and week out in the SEC as an elite offense? Absolutely not.
Cole Kublik is our guest SEC Network analyst. What do you make of the East this year? I mean, I know the big popular take is probably going to be Georgia, but we don't know about Florida at the quarterback. We don't know about Tennessee in a lot of areas. The young quarterbacks at Kentucky, Missouri, South Carolina, Vandy. How do you handicap the East going into?
Yeah, Boog and I played golf yesterday. We were almost at blows over this one because he is high on Georgia. Similar to Tennessee last year, I feel like they're coming in as sort of the media darling this year in the East. There's nothing on Georgia's defense outside of Trent Thompson that really scares me. Do they have a lot of guys back? Sure, but a returning starter doesn't mean you're good. It doesn't mean you're great. Schematically, I think they'll be able to do some different things and win some games. I don't know how much football means to Jacob Eason. And at that position, football needs to mean a lot to you. And I want to see that football means a lot to Jacob Eason. Now, half the time he's turned around and handed it to two really good running backs that are going to be here later this week. That's great. I have real concerns about the offensive line. They have two good tight ends that can help them. I think they lack perimeter weapons. And I think they lack a defender, outside of Trent Thompson that can take over a game. I just think they're too young, and I don't know if they have enough in the trenches on both sides of the ball to go win that division. Because the problem is, I think Tennessee's the only team that's going backwards in the East. Missouri's going to take a step forward. South Carolina's taking a step forward. Vanderbilt's not going backwards. I don't know if they take a big step forward, but they're definitely not going backwards. So I got Florida in the East. I realize quarterback's a bit of a concern. I love the receivers. They have the most talented offensive line in the league. They have enough back on the defensive line. They're good in the secondary. And I think Jim McElwain's the second-best coach in the SEC.
Cole, good to see you. Thanks for stopping by, as
Thanks, guys.
Always.
Enjoyed it, Cole. Thank you.
In-depth
yes,
stuff. Cole Kublik, SEC Network analyst. And, Floyd, this is how we're just playing it right around here. I mean, we're just rolling here at SEC Media Days. And joined now by a Nashville native, Jayshon Robertson, joining us here on the show. Tennessee offensive lineman, former NBA offensive lineman. Jayshon, good to see you.
Nice to see you guys.
So,
how y'all doing?
So you look excited out here at SEC Media Day.
He's looking good.
He got the biggest smile on because he knows he's on in Nashville.
He's looking good.
Yes, sir.
So this season, a lot of people are – there's a lot of questions about the Vols because you guys lost so much off of the team last year. What would you say to somebody who says to you, you know, I just don't know about what the Vols are bringing back compared to what the Vols lost last year? What would your response to that be?
Well, you know, I'm really proud of the way our guys are working right now and the attitude that they're bringing every day. It's a very blue-collar type of attitude, just coming in, working, knocking everything out. So when I think about losing a bunch of guys, at the same time, you have a group of guys working to replace that type of production.
This season, what is the talk kind of amongst the team, in the locker room, amongst the guys? We know what the talk about the fans is. We know what the talk in Nashville is. But amongst the guys, what's the talk?
The talk amongst the guys. Well, of course, you know, our goal year in and year out is to win every game. And the talk amongst the guys is just getting together, loving one another, growing tighter together, and doing everything we can every day to achieve that goal.
You are probably the veteran guy on the offensive line, huh?
Yes, sir.
You're the old man. Now, you've got some young kids there, including some talented kids. Mm-hmm. The one left tackle is a pretty good player, but still a baby. How are you going to get those, whip those guys into shape? How are you planning on doing that?
Well, you know, those young guys, they're all very talented, and I've enjoyed their approach day in and day out. And it's not just about me whipping them into shape. They're also bringing it every day. They're challenging me every day, whether it's through competition, whether it's the lifting, the running, and everything. So it's a mutual relationship, and it's very healthy.
You have been fortunate in that you've played a lot of games, stayed pretty healthy, all of those things. In your mind, last year people want to talk about the health of the team and how it affected the record and all that. Was it that big of an impact on the record in your mind?
Well, from my perspective, you know, things happen. And in our program, we have a next-up mentality. So right now we have a lot of depth on our team and a lot of competition. And with that comes growth every day. So if you have a group of guys who are working day in and day out, you know, they should be prepared for when their number is called and when their moment arises. So you have these guys that are working, and surely when their moment is called, they'll be ready for it.
You have a new offensive coordinator. Has anything changed, or because of Coach Jones and his system, the system's basically the same? Can you tell any difference from where you are?
Well, right now we haven't put in too much, so it's hard to tell. And, you know, over the course of the season, we'll see what our offense has developed into, depending on, you know, who we got and what we have going on.
See, this was a smart football guy right here. He wasn't going to give me anything. He just kept it very well done.
See, there you go.
Very well done.
Okay, so being from Nashville, Jayshon Robertson, our guest, UT offensive lineman, being from Nashville, you're a Titans fan, I would assume, right?
Yes, hometown team.
Okay. So this is Floyd Reese, the former Titans GM, back in the Steve McNair, Eddie George days, back when they were, you know, good. And so if you had a question to ask the GM about the NFL, about football, about even UT, what would your question for the GM be?
Well, you know, I could ask him 100 questions. It's really hard to decipher which one. But if I had one question, I would just ask him, you know, what's the main thing that you got from your experience of being in the league and your role in the league? Just, I don't know, what was your favorite part about that?
You know what? I love the whole thing. I really did. I coached in the league for 17 years, and then I was in management for another 25 or whatever it was. I mean, I loved the locker room. I loved practice. Of course, I loved game day. All that was really, I mean, over 40 years, you get to a point that it's a way of life for you. And when you, I mean, you're feeling it now a little bit. When you get to the next level, it is a lot more on a daily basis. You know, you're living and dying your job and the NFL, and literally everything you do will be focused on, you know, how am I taking, my body is my money. You know, this is my job. How am I going to help myself?
Jayshon Robertson, our guest. Jayshon, we really appreciate you stopping by here at SEC Media Days. Is there anything for the people in Nashville? Because not very often do we get people on in their hometown here. So now you're on in your hometown, and we got a popular show. So is there anything that you want to tell the people of Nashville?
Well, you know, I've had the opportunity to play a few games in Nashville, and you know, everybody has always came out and shown tremendous support. So I just want to say thank you. You know, we appreciate it as a group, and I appreciate it personally from my city, time in and time out.
You need to get that Predator fan support. I mean, with the Predators rolling. Jayshon Robertson, our guest. Jayshon, we appreciate it, man.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Jayshon Robertson, we're live at SEC Media Days. Jared and the GM on ESPN 102.5, The Game. Live here at SEC Media Days, Jared and the GM, ESPN 102.5, The Game. We've had wide receiver DJ Chark from LSU on. We've had Tennessee offensive tackle Jayshon Robertson on today.
Classy kid or what?
Oh, they're all, both of them.
Both of them were.
Both of them were fantastic. We had Cole Kublik on, I mean, from the SEC Network. We'll have Jordan Rogers on later today. Just tell you, Nashville's best sports talk station is dedicated to the listeners, to giving them the best coverage. We're going to get some more UT players on here in a bit. We'll have Butch Jones when he's live at the podium. You will hear that. We are covering the big story like nobody else, which is SEC Media Days. And does it not get exciting to talk all this football with everybody?
Somebody has been here talking football on this station since 6 this morning, and it's going to go till 6 tonight.
And if you had to say maybe kind of one of your early takeaways, so we played the Booger McFarland clip. We talked to Cole Kublik about it a little bit there. We talked even, you know, to Jayshon Robertson about, you know, what are the – how would you tell the people that look at what you've lost and said it's not going to be a big deal? If you had any takeaways in that regard about UT football, what would they be? And what do you think is going to be kind of the question for Butch Jones about how this team will be this year after what they lost after last year?
Well, I mean, you lose people like this every year, you know. It's so funny because we're talking about UT losing all these people, and it could be an issue. And then we just brought up the University of Georgia's defense that is returning all 11. And the comment was, well, you know, just because you're returning doesn't mean you're good. Well, wait a minute. We can't be bad across the board. Somewhere along the line, we have to be able to be good. Either good because we've got young people coming in that are going to be good, or good because we have veteran players, or whatever the case may be. But it can't always be bad. And so I think once you get that straight in your mindset, whatever standard it is that you're going by, then I think you got a shot. Truth is, it's so early in the year, as we all know, that, you know, it's a little bit difficult to come out and make judgments until you actually see them in a uniform playing some games.
I almost feel bad for some of these kids. We'll have Kendall Vickers on, the Tennessee defensive lineman, in a little bit. But I almost feel for these kids because they're asking questions about games in 3-4 weeks and things like that, where, you know, who knows what it's going to be like at that point in time with where UT is or where LSU is or where any of these teams are. And with that being said, we're joined now by Tennessee defensive lineman Kendall Vickers. Of course, last year, Kendall, it felt like last season you played a big role, and then all the injuries happened, and then it was you got them. Yeah. And we saw at the end of the year where the team kind of slowed down a little bit. If people came up to you, if your friends or family came up to you and said, had concerns about everything that you guys lost, Derek Barnett and everything, what would you say to your friends who are saying, I don't know, with what you guys lost, how you're going to do this season, what would you say to them?
I'd say the guys that are going to step up this year have been working hard. We know what we lost. You know, anytime you lose a guy like Derek Barnett, he's one of the best, you know, pass rusher players in SEC history. But anytime you lose a guy like that, you always got to step up, have guys step up. And we've been doing that this offseason. Guys have been working extra hard. Guys have been doing what they've been supposed to do on and off the field. So we're ready to get after it this fall camp. So,
you are the veteran of the group, again, and are the guy that's, you know, in the locker room, in the training room, not necessarily on the field. You got coaches there that are, you know, chewing and chewing and chewing. But as the veteran guy, there are going to be a lot of eyes on you. You know, a lot of people watching you and saying, well, you know, I'm going to learn how I do things around here from this guy. What kind of responsibility do you feel for that?
It's a great responsibility to have, to know that guys want to, you know, look up to you, want to do what you're doing. I try to go in the mentality every day to work as hard as you can and leave nothing in the weight room, leave nothing, you know, on the field. And I go by that every day. And I'm trying to show these young guys how, you know, to follow me and how things are done in Tennessee. And I think they're responding. I think they've been doing a great job in, you know, just listening and retaining as much information as they can.
As a veteran guy, what type of – Kendall Vickers is our guest. What type of honor do you think it is for Butch Jones to say, I want you representing – the University of Tennessee at SEC Media Days?
Oh, it's a great opportunity. You know, I just want to thank him for, you know, just bringing me here. It means a lot. It shows that he trusts me and he thinks I am a leader on this team, which I think I am as well. And I'm happy to be here representing the University of Tennessee.
You are really, really fortunate in that you've got a new defensive line coach that is unique. Former head coach, University of Michigan. How is that all going with Coach Hoke?
Oh, it's going great. You know, I love Coach Hoke. He's a guy that can he could chew you out, but at the same time, he's going to love you as well. I can go into his office any day and just talk about life. I don't have to necessarily talk about football. I can just talk about, you know, what went on in my day today. And he could just talk to you back and forth. So I love Coach Hope. We all do.
Kendall Vickers, our guest. Kendall, we really appreciate you stopping by. We know that you're busy moving around each spot, but the people in Nashville do appreciate you coming on the show with us.
All right, thank you. I appreciate it.
Kendall Vickers right here on Jared and the GM. And I would say, you know, after when he sits down and talks to you, you know why Butch Jones brought him.
I'm going to say this now. That's two Vols we have met here. They are classy kids.
Well, the attitude seems to be in the right place, at least from the two guys we've talked to, Jayshon Robertson and Kendall Vickers. Now, they're both seniors, and I think you would agree there's something to that.
Well, yeah, but, I mean, they are, you know, the leaders of these two because they're the only returning guys in those areas. So these guys, whether they want to admit it or not, are going to set the standard. They're going to set the tempo. They're going to set how much tape we watch, how much time we spend in the meeting room, how much now on the field. I'm sure Coach Oak in the defensive line situation will, you know, have them going 1,000%. But when the coach is gone and all these guys are in the dorm or in the hot tub, you know, getting a rub down, whatever the case may be, these older guys set the tempo, give the direction, help all these young guys through some tough times now. These young guys are kind of stumbling along a little bit.
What do you take away when we talk to these kids? Because I know, in fact, you know what? Let's get to that on the other side because I think there's a lot to that because I know what the media is looking for because I'm a media guy. I know what the media is looking for. You have evaluated college players and made franchise-altering decisions based upon meeting them and getting to know them and small things like that. So I want your take on kind of what you're seeing out of these kids and what it means to you, and we'll get to that coming up next as we're live here at SEC Media Days, jam-packed show. In that last hour, we had four guests, two UT football players, Jayshon Robertson and Kendall Vickers right there. We had DJ Chalk from LSU. We had Cole Kublik from the SEC Network. It only gets more and more, plus Butch Jones at the podium, Jordan Rogers, and much more to get into. It's Jared and the GM. Live our coverage presented here at SEC Media Days, presented by Pepper Boxing, Volunteer Hose and Gasket, and transportation provided by Walker Chevrolet. Jared and the GM, ESPN 102.5, The Game.